on Baskin and Phelps today with the Cleveland Browns. Browns coming off a win over the Baltimore Ravens yesterday.
I don't feel like there's a lot of therapy needed today. I think people are very happy, and they're where they want to be, and some people don't want to get their happiness off their chest, and I've heard very few people be angry.
They don't want to share their happiness. They want to keep it inside because it makes them feel warm and fuzzy.
Do we have to go back to the love segment of just 15 minutes ago? I don't think so.
I can't handle any more love talk.
No, it was weird.
Really was. Of course, I'm not the guy saying I love random callers.
He said he loves us. And so
no,
why
he said
can't
he loved
we...
the show. He yeah. didn't say anything about you or me personally.
I said we love you too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, a hug if a day it, keeps the doctor
if,
away.
If Jay was a plumber, I could say, Jay, I love your plumbing work. I don't know Jay personally.
Nobody knows PVC the way you do, Jay. Let me just say that.
We're here for TLC, Andy, not PVC.
Oh, sorry. You're coming up with some pretty good lines today.
What?
Did you get a? Did you buy a book?
No, I've spent some time. When your uncle is a plumber and your father is an electrician, you learn these things.
Very nice. It's beautiful. Casey's in Jacksonville, Florida, where they no longer have Christian Kirk at wide receiver. Ooh, that's tough. Broken collarbone out for the season, Casey.
Hey, that's all right. They're not diehard fans like you guys up there.
There you go. So,
pretty fair weather down here. But hey, we'll say you guys. The coach Kevin Stefanski, I don't understand what the fuss is all about. With you guys have been to the playoffs for a couple years now, and they want to hammer that coach. I don't know if he's the guy who made the $230 million mistake, so I don't know who's to blame there. And my next thing is, who do you guys lining up for a quarterback? You guys want to draft one? Because I don't think DTR is the answer, and I sure as don't think Deshaun Watson is. So I'll get your guys' thoughts, and I'll let you go. You guys have a good one.
Casey, thank you very much. I don't know who the quarterback of this team is next year.
I have no idea.
You know who I'd be okay with? If he's competent the rest of the way, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I mean, he'll let him go earn the opportunity to be the starting quarterback next year. That's what I would like to see. But I'm telling you, when you look at checkbooks, I'm not going to be surprised if Deshaun Watson is under center for game one of next year, if he can play. As soon as he's healthy, I would not be surprised if he was under center. I know a lot of people woke up yesterday and said, well, if he didn't have the job before yesterday, the way Jameis played and the way they called that game kind of made it sound like he's done, that we'll never see him again. As long as that contract lives, I find that very, very hard to believe.
What would you do, though?
I would make him the backup at this point until he could prove that he's... Here's the problem. We're not using our eyes. Right. We're using our checkbook, right? You've got to look at it from the standpoint is what... And Kevin
said
basing it
on one game. But
no, but the problem is, like you said, you talked about for Flacco,
well.
Too.
Yeah,
and sometimes you just have to admit that you're wrong, and maybe it was the worst trade in... NFL history. And guess what? There will be another one that's worse somewhere down the road.
People in Minnesota might disagree
with you on
that.
So just keep going. I don't know, Jeff. We didn't get a whole lot of nothing.
How'd that Herschel Walker thing work out for them? Folks in Dallas loved
it. Did they get over it?
Yeah, they kind of
did. Are people now saying this is the worst trade in NFL history?
Yes, people kind of are.
Well, 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now, people say the next trade is the worst trade in NFL history? Yes. The problem is they broke the glass ceiling on the contract stuff with guaranteed money.
That's why it's going to stick. Quarterbacks, now the cost of doing business is outrageous for a quarterback. Quarterbacks across America thank the Browns.
Reality will set in at some point, though, but that's all.
And as far as the coach, I'm not interested in we got the impression there from Jacksonville that, you know, not happy with the coach. I think we have a fine head coach, and I don't think there's any reason to change head coaches.
I'm fine with him.
Zach is in Cleveland. Hello, Zach.
Hi, Zach. How are you?
Guys, that was an emotional win yesterday. First point I want to make is obviously condolences to Jim's family. From a young age, that's been the voice of the Browns for me, as well as obviously the rest of the city. But it's gotten me through some tough times, you know, riding home early from a game with my dad when we're getting whooped on. And Jim made it feel like you're sitting there with one of your buddies and that he's going through it with you. Him and Deke did a great job of that. And I think transitioning now, I can now show my girlfriend's kids, Zagura and Siciliano up in the booth. And they're doing a great job. So it's been seamless. I want to give those guys a huge shout out too. They're doing awesome. Brought chills yesterday, definitely.
Well said.
This is what our team looks like, guys, with a competent quarterback.
It's pretty clear, isn't it, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, I've been calling you guys for a couple weeks, calling for Ken's job, and I don't think that was even Ken's playbook yesterday. It's Kevin's playbook. You guys have been saying it. We've seen those plays all season. Deshaun just couldn't hit him. Obviously, wish him the best. You never want to see anybody get injured, but, man, these guys can keep their foot on the gas. I don't know what they can accomplish. I don't know if it's playoffs or what, but they're playing for something, and they were definitely playing for Jim yesterday, man. He was there. That Justin Tucker doesn't miss a kick. I mean, Jim was blowing some air down from heaven and blew that thing away. He bounced one through for Dustin, ripped the ball out of Kyle Hamilton's hands. I mean, he intercepts that 10 times out of 10, not even 9 times out of 10. I don't know how he dropped that.
I don't know how he dropped that either, Zach.
That was special yesterday, guys. Hopefully we can keep rolling with this and see where we end up, guys.
All right, Zach, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yesterday, after the passing of Jim Donovan over the weekend, obviously a lot of things at the stadium, a lot of things on our broadcast about Jim. Andy, we just both thought, you know, Jim did a really nice job doing the Browns games. I thought he was outstanding. And his energy, his enthusiasm, his preparation, I used the word yesterday on the pregame show, precision. In the way he did a game from a fellow broadcaster standpoint was something I always admired. And I thought he was very, very good at what he did. And after he retired from the Browns gig, I told him that started when he was doing the NFL on NBC. And he just carried over into the Browns. And he was really good doing the NFL games on NBC. And last night on the Monday night game, I had forgotten this. The Sunday night game last night. NBC mentioned Jim and did a little tribute to him, which was very nice, and showed a picture of him with Chris Collinsworth doing a game.
Yeah.
And as Mike Tirico pointed out, he was your first broadcast partner when you came to NBC. I had forgotten that. Mm. And so it was nice of NBC to do that.
I thought we basically did a four-hour celebration of life for the pregame show. It really, football was absolutely...
Throughout the whole pregame show.
Yeah, I mean, it was secondary. We heard some great stories along the way. And, you know, it's difficult. It's also, like, I don't know. I think he was smiling on this team yesterday. There were some plays. You know, the sun. I mean, how does that happen? An interception that should have been caught. And just, it's sad. The whole thing is sad. But, I as I drove into the game yesterday, I must have passed five or six billboards.
That was really nice.
It was just really
very
cool.
Nice tribute.
I don't know who did that, but they deserve a bravo. And you know, as you drive around town right now, and you see, and still on the stadium this morning when I drove into work today, as I was coming in on I-90 and got off over by
billboard
the stadium
right here at Playhouse Square too.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I saw the one on the stadium itself, the one that sits on the back of the dog pound.
Yeah.
On the eastbound side of the. The stadium, I just thought, what a beautiful tribute Northeast Ohio did. Even in the press box yesterday, they had three really cool pictures of Jim and some flowers out. And it was just, yesterday was a very, very heavy heart day. And I think, you know, it's interesting as, you know, we look at it from our perspective, which I think ours is a little different than everybody else's is, Jeff, just because, you know, we're in the business and we see this. And it also made me think of, you know, the voices that were also there for him, for this team along the way too. And you know, I thought about Nev for a little while yesterday. I thought about Gibb. I thought about Casey. I thought about all those, you know, these great voices that have filled the airwaves. And you know, Jim is there, and he'll always be the voice of this team for this century. And it's sometimes it's just difficult to process. And I don't know. I thought it was really cool that Kevin and Andrew went over the house last night and presented the game ball to his wife and his daughter. That picture's on social media. And all the pictures that were out on social media yesterday were just, they were outstanding. And it was just this great tribute. And he had so much life in those pictures. He was always smiling. And he really, really battled. And we talked about this yesterday on the pregame show that, you know, we were listening to the pregame because we were listening to the preseason games, and it's hard to believe that that game in Seattle was Jim's last one. But
yeah,
you know, we had both said after that Seattle game, well, Jim sounded the way he always did. He sounded a little softer.
His voice wasn't obviously. Think about the treatments and everything that he had been going through.
Yeah, and that I'd also
the only time, Andy, I ever noticed anything over the last. I mean, he'd been fighting things for almost since he became
years.
The voice of the Browns.
Yeah.
You know, literally. It was like the year after he found out that he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire time he was voice of the Browns, he was fighting this. And the only time I ever noticed a thing was in the preseason.
This year.
Yeah, and it was just in his voice a little bit. And I honestly, when I heard him, I thought, that's great. He'll knock that out.
I thought the same thing, especially the Seattle game.
Yeah, I thought that voice will come back,
and then
no problem.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was really, really struggling on that Seattle game.
Yeah,
really struggling.
But I thought, okay, that's it, because the play call, the precision that I've always admired so much, it was there. Just the voice was a little off, and I thought that would come back.
I have never, ever met anybody in our business that had just faster, quick wit, and the ability to retain knowledge quickly. I don't know how many of you know this, but Jim didn't do a 6-11 sportscast with Scripps. Never did. I think he had like 6 words written down on a piece of paper, and he would go over there and do a sportscast. And it was, you know, he would sit there and he would talk and tell you a story for 3 minutes, no matter what it was. And it was always, you know, I'll never forget the first day I worked at Channel 3, how I was just blown away by the fact that, like, I for me, if it was a 6 o'clock newscast, I'd definitely be in my seat by 4, making sure that I knew of every second that I was going to spend on the air. And Jim already knew everything that was going on, and he would sit there with Jeff Kiviak, who was his producer and still does a lot of stuff with the Browns Network, and you know, and just really, I think about, especially in the last 24, 48 hours, I've been thinking about Yak, and I've been thinking about Deke a lot, because they were just absolutely super close with him, and just. Like, you talk about family, those two guys are family for him. And, you know, Jim truly trusted Yak more than any other, you know, outside of his family, I'm sure. Just trusted him in a way that just everyone should have a friend that close that will always have their back. And I know it's been rough. I know it's really rough for Deke right now, because I was there for the Legends induction, and the Browns kind of, you know, had a feel for what was going on here, and they knew, hey, let's get Jimmy in the Legends. Well, Jimmy knows that he's in the Legends. And I say bravo to the team for that too. But I just sitting on stage with Deke and just being there was just surreal, and just trying to understand that and just to have the emotion and the feeling for Deke. I feel for those guys today too, and especially. But I think, you know, once we get out of this in the next, you know, not get out of this, but just I think when you remember, I love hearing all these great stories about how he was the voice of your Sundays in the fall. And that's what I think is the lasting impact of Jim Donovan and the way he was able to relate to the folks of Northeast Ohio. And it's really something special. And I think every sportscaster should aspire to reach that kind of bond with a city, because it meant that he cared.
It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.